KGRGFM, KGRGFM, HD1, Auburn, also broadcasting on K207, AP 7 Lake Taps, 89.3 FM. You're listening to The Buzz. If you lost a pair of khaki pants, call me at 253-833-5004.
Cork.
I am not kidding.
What? You lost your khakis?
No, somebody lost their khakis in the bed of my truck.
Ooh, girl.
Like,
Cork. What exactly were you doing in the bed of your truck?
So, Adek and I went to go see MC Chris.
We didn't have an MC Chris?
I think so. Because, like, I got home in the next or the next day after work, and I look in the bed of my truck. I'm like, hey, Thursday, those are your pants? She's like, no, those are dude's pants. I'm like, those are dude's pants.
Nice.
I don't wear khakis. Whose pants
yeah,
are these?
I've never seen you wear khakis.
I think it goes the way with me when I made a Vine account. Vine shut down next week. I think it would be the same. The world would shut down if you wore khakis.
How did you make a Vine account? You like live in 1994.
I have a laptop that lets me get apps. I can apps now. I can app it.
Yeah, I'm super serious. I'm really concerned on where these pants came from.
Heaven.
That's really
They're
funny.
A gift from Jeebus.
So whether or not you're wearing pants this morning, we got an awesome show for you. A lot of Thanksgiving themed stuff. Got a Thanksgiving themed six pack with like the origin of some Thanksgiving-y words, I guess.
Sure.
Thanksgiving ski words.
Sure, I don't know. We have a very special Thanksgiving trivia.
Hangover holiday edition.
Yup. And just a heads up for everybody listening, we're gonna spend time with our friends and families and cats tomorrow, so
we ain't doing anything tomorrow.
Or Friday. Because traffic's gonna suck.
So you can listen, but we ain't gonna be here.
We'll be back with geeky news after Say Anything. Wow, I can get sexual too. 89.9 KGRG, you're
Kitties.
Listening to Buzz.
Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news. Geeky news.
89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz. It's 6:20, so that means it's time for your geeky news.
Yeah.
Right? And this morning's is really exciting. Like, typically it's just a bunch of movie news and some TV news. I'm just like, yeah, same old, same old. This morning, we're shaking it up a little bit.
Is it about potatoes? Are we talking about potatoes?
I swear to God, I will stab every potato ever.
Yes!
But first geeky news story is that Ubisoft is going to stop selling certain types of DLCs.
Wait, what?
The video game Ubisoft is going to stop selling certain types of downloadable content.
What do you mean?
So typically with video games, they'll sell the game, and then, like, a few months later, they'll sell more content for that same game.
And then a few months later, you can't play it anymore if you don't buy the content?
Kind of?
That's mean!
You can continue playing the game, but some games have resorted to making it integral to the main game.
Ugh!
So, selling post-launch downloadable content has become a standard in the gaming industry, but it appears that one of the biggest publishers is about to do away with it, at least partially. Ubisoft has announced that moving forward, it'll no longer charge players for DLC that is essential to the core experience of a game. The company is seeking to support its titles for 5 to 10 years via free downloadable maps and microtransactions.
I like them. I want to cuddle them and say thank you and give them all the potatoes.
I was mainly excited for this because there's one game in particular, Destiny, where the core game came out and it was great. And it seems like every few months since the game's come out, I think it came out like last year or the year before, maybe a year and 6 months ago,
Something like that. They
released a major, major expansion.
Yep.
But you can't, like, then there are certain things like daily quests and stuff like that you can't participate in if you don't have the expansions. So I just stopped playing.
Yeah, it sucks.
Because, like, video games are already expensive and then,
dude, you're buying a new game, you're dropping $60.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is rough.
How much are the expansions and stuff?
Typically, expansions can run anywhere from, like, maybe you'll have, like, a $10 map pack or a $5 just map pack or, like, multiplayer pack
That's
for, like,
so
the shooter
annoying.
Games. All the way up to, like, $20 or $30.
Like, mm-hmm. No. Just let me have the whole game. Like, get your ish together the first time.
Yeah.
Right? And sometimes they'll do, like, season passes, but the season passes, it's usually, like, the cost of 2 expansions, but you'll get 4, because there are typically 4 in a year, 1 every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But you're paying up front without knowing what you're going to get.
Yeah.
It is painful, and it sucks.
It makes me angry.
But more good news.
Grr.
Drones are delivering Domino's in New Zealand.
No!
Yay!
Quinn, why are you saying no?
Why? You don't want a like rope when, brought to deliver you pizza when you're, like, high? Like,
no!
That's, like, the dream.
No!
No?
I think the technology is moving too far too fast, and I mark your words, by the time I'm 60, we'll all be robot slaves.
By the time you're 60, you might have, like, a non-flip phone.
Shush.
But just to prove this isn't sponsored content, let me start off by saying I think Domino's Pizza, it's okay. Like, it's not my favorite. It's maybe, like, top five.
What is your favorite?
Oh, Pizza Time. For
pizza
sure.
Time. I don't know Pizza Time.
I prefer it's Pop's great. Pizza.
But,
Papa Murphy's.
No, Pop's
like
Pizza.
Papa Murphy's.
But if you order pizza in the Kiwi city of, I'm gonna murder this, Huangagarapero.
Huangagarapero!
There's a good chance that you'll get it via drone. You can see the whole thing in action in a video that we're going to post on our Facebook and our Twitter. But, yeah, it's going to be great. So, you're going to order through their delivery app as usual. And you're going to get a little drone flying to your house and it's just going to drop the pizza in your hand.
No.
Dope.
Yep. I'm excited.
Can you, like, smash the drone and not have to give the drone its money?
God!
Just calm yourself.
I am perfectly calm.
Okay, Norman Bates. All
right, next geeky news story I got. J.K. Rowling actually answered some important questions about Fantastic Beasts.
Lay it on me.
Tell me more!
So she started off on her Twitter just saying, I'm being asked so many good questions about story and characters in hashtag Fantastic Beasts. If I can't answer, it's because we have 4 movies to go. That's right, 4 movies.
Yeah! I have not seen Fantastic Beasts yet, and I need to.
Well, here's some more good news for you. She said that the films are going to span a 19-year period, starting in 1926 and ending in 1945. That's a long time.
Yeah, but if you want to take me to see Fantastic Beasts, call me at 253-833-5004.
If you want to take me to see Fantastic Beasts.
But the ending date makes sense because it comes to an important historical duel between Grindelwald and Dumbledore.
Yes.
And that's why she said it's too big for this one movie. They're going up to 4.
Yes!
From the trailer, we gathered our hero Newt Scamander never completed his Hogwarts education. According to Percival Graves, Newt was expelled for endangering human life. That's all we know. In the core Harry Potter books, Newt, who has literally wrote the book on magical creatures, was a graduate of Hogwarts, so what went wrong? Even more intriguing was Newt was able to keep his wand after being expelled from Hogwarts. Hagrid, for instance, wasn't allowed to keep his after an incident with the Basilisk. The Ministry of Magic broke his wand. Rowling doesn't answer this question outright, but claims that it became apparent in later films why Newt still has his. Additionally, many fans spotted at the end, Newt is a proud Hufflepuff.
So is Andrea of KGRG1. We made her do the thing on Pottermore.
Really?
Yeah. We called it, though. We were like, she's totally going to be a Hufflepuff. And she was.
Yep.
But the sequel, it hasn't entered production yet, but Rowling has already penned the script. Not much is known. Well, it'll be covered, but it's possible Newt might not even be the main character in some of the later films, and that we might get more of a focus on the Grindelwald conflict.
Nice.
Either way, we know that Rowling will be heavily involved, and will probably answer some more questions on Twitter if you ask. So that's really exciting news, right?
I just need more Harry Potter world in my life.
I know, right?
I think the biggest thing for me is that Newt isn't going to be the main character, and that they're going to switch it up.
That's cool, though.
I don't think I've ever seen a movie franchise ever really do that. Especially when it's like 4 movies like that.
They did it on Game of Thrones.
Does Game of Thrones have a main character?
We all thought it was Ned Stark at the beginning, and you know it.
You know that Sean Bean showed up on screen, you're like, R.I.P. that guy.
I know. I just want him to win once.
That's your geeky news for this morning. We'll be back with your regular news at 6:30 after Fly by Sleeping with Sirens.
Yes.
89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Just fly.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
This hour's news is brought to you by Cork's dog Emmett because he's super adorable. Yay. And
now
it's.
Get off my lawn.
And it's also brought to you by the worst Christmas ever, too, at Real Life Tacoma on December 23rd, where you wear an ugly Christmas sweater, where you listen to local bands like Into the Flood, Empyrean, and more to cover your favorite new metal songs. For more information, you can visit reallifetacoma.com.
Yeah.
Just do it!
Do it.
But it's time for your 6:30 news.
I have news.
Oh.
My hair has lasted a whole half hour without falling flat. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm right. Strange today.
First news is a little holiday tip for you.
Oh.
Pro tip for surviving the holiday confrontation with family. Think of it like a hostage negotiation.
That's perfect.
I know, right?
Right?
A hostage negotiation. I'm going to die.
So experts at West Virginia University have a message for families getting together for the holidays. Think of yourself as a hostage negotiator. This holiday season can, and in many cases, bring families together, or family members together who often do not see each other on one table. With varying political and personal beliefs, this can often bring tension to even the closest families.
Ooh.
In preparation for gathering together in this post-election season, West Virginia University experts offered tips in a news release on minimizing family confrontation during the holidays. Elizabeth Cohen, an assistant professor of communication studies, said tense situations should be met with calm responses. Quote, if somebody was threatening somebody's life and you had to talk them out of it, you wouldn't yell at them or call them names or insult their worldview. You would just set them off, Cohen said. Instead, Cohen suggests calmly asking questions to gain insight about the other person.
Okay.
BS.
Right? A psychologist at the university, Elijah Weiss, said that people should not be afraid to lean on like-minded family members during times of stress. Weiss also encourages people to reach out to friends who you can text or call for reassurance. So if you can't handle it on your own, vent.
Yeah.
Or you can take the cork approach and just like...
drink.
That too. Or just like...
then you have...
Find a soft spot on the couch away from everybody. Like there's always a couple of chairs.
Yeah.
In like the living room. Find your chair. Sit. Watch TV.
See, I do the approach that I do when I'm at a party that I just don't want to be at.
Hide in the bathroom and cry.
Go find the cat or the dog.
Right?
And if there isn't one...
go steal the neighbors.
Exactly.
There's always that awkward interaction. Like I try to interact with everybody and say hi, try to catch up, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But what you gonna do, right? Their family, with you're related to them whether you like it or not, and it's always nice to catch up with these people. Sometimes they have something interesting to say. Other times, I feel like I have those talks with my grandparents where like I'll say stuff to them. And they'll nod and they'll be like, that's cute, honey. Like,
now, when are you going to get married? That's always how it goes, isn't it?
See, my dad, like, switched it up. He's always been like, can't date till you're 30. But then, like, a couple years ago, he's like, when are you going to give me grandkids? And I was like, I thought I wasn't allowed to date.
Not 30 yet.
Basically, but what I like to do is I like to show off my flexibility while loudly eating a bag of romaine lettuce. It makes everyone stay away from me.
Like exorcist style or what?
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing.
No, I'll just like...
I'm just picturing your head going around like 360 degrees and you're just munching lettuce.
I have a very flexible back, so I can do like a back bend and then lower my upper body on the ground so that my upper body's on the ground, but my feet are on either side of my head and they're still on the ground. So I'll literally just sit like that and then I'll grab a bag of lettuce and I'll just like, nom, 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 nom.
Okay. Well, next news story I got.
Oh, gosh.
Dan, I'm not sure how much you like the show or not, but Double Dare turned
Double Dare 2000!
It turned 30 this year.
Ooh.
Right? And a few weeks after Double Dare celebrated its 30th anniversary of its October 6, 1986 premiere, Nickelodeon is going to air a November 23rd, so that's tonight, primetime special in honor of the spectacularly sloppy game show.
Find every episode of me and just give it to me for Christmas.
Do they have that on TV?
I don't know, but I want it.
But, like, this sounds lit, right?
It does sound lit.
I think, I wish it was still real so we could go as a family, could be a team.
I didn't know that it's been out for 30 years was the surprising part to me.
Yeah,
I thought it was, like maybe 90, 92, but not 86.
Like, yeah. I just want all those shows to come back. Like, not just, like, replay old episodes. Like, I want it to be, like, the same, but, like, no upgrades.
What was the show with, like, Crag Mountain or whatever? Or Guts! It was Guts.
Guts!
We need Guts back.
Guts, Double Dare, and then Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yup. Not this movie, the actual freaking game show.
There's a movie?
They're making a Legends of the Hidden Temple movie.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
It was a game show that was, like, the real...
That's going to be as pointless as the Hole in the Wall game show, like where they would have weird poses and stuff and people would have to fit through them.
That's hard, though. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's a good, like, drunk time game.
Yeah, that's a great drunk time game.
Last news story I got. The internet finally learned its lesson, or at least the public finally learned its lesson, because the public is going to vote on names for Atlanta Zoo's twin panda cubs.
Oh, okay.
And they're not asking for suggestions.
Good.
Atlanta Zoo is inviting the public to...
So they're not going to be Cubby McCub Cub.
Exactly. Atlanta Zoo is inviting the public to vote on names for twin giant panda cubs born in September. The twin pandas will be named on their 100th day of life, which falls on December 12th in accordance with the Chinese tradition. The zoo said in a news release on Monday, panda fans can go to the Zoo Atlanta's website to vote on names. At all four U.S. zoos with giant pandas, the bears are on loan from China, and seven pairs of proposed names were supplied by a panda conservation center in Chengdu, India, or China.
I don't care about them. I want to name it Cuddly McFluffball.
You're the reason this is happening.
The zoo says each set of names has a special connection with the cubs or their parents. Lun Lun and Yang Yang. The names and their meanings are Ba Loon and Sha Loon, Ba and Chu are ancient Shashwin names still common in China.
Okay.
Ba Shu means land of abundance.
Got you.
Ba Loon is the inflatable thingy? I don't know. Ju Ju and Wan Wan, Ju means longevity or long time. Like, review wrong time. Well, Juan means far away distance or far away. When combined, they mean longevity and permanence. You have Lu Zhe and Zhe Lun. The first Zhe means addition, while the second means good, finer phrase. Lun is a reference to Mother Lun Lun.
Lun Lun.
And then the list goes on. We'll post the entire article in case you want to make an informed decision before you vote this October. Or November, whatever the whole month it is.
Remember that's when, like, they're renaming a school and, like, people voted for Schooly McSchoolface?
And then Bodie McBoatface?
Yep. I just want to hug all the pandas.
Are you going to be okay, friend?
No! I want my own panda.
Hide the lettuce.
Well, that's your news for this morning at 6:30. We'll be back after Hard to Please by State Champs on 89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz.
Panda.
Thank you. Now, the time has come for us to embark on a quest into the great unknown. We shall scavenge the internet depths and discover its obscure trinkets and knickknacks and attempt to guess their worth.
Yeah!
Prepare your ears for...
The price is wrong, bitch.
Okay!
Contestants, come on down.
89.9 KGRG FM, that was To Whom It May Concern by Emery. But it's time for The Price is Wrong. I've got some items for our lovely contestants here. We have Miss Intern Quinn and Miss Danica, and they're going to guess the price of some items. Closest without going over wins the round. We ready?
Yeah.
This morning it was all about getting lit because it's the holidays and why not?
Getting lit.
So first item is going to help keep your baby lit.
Ooh.
She got a baby champagne flute. Classy.
What?
It's important to raise your child with dignity, respect, and humility. Everyone can agree with this. But what parenting books won't tell you is how important it is for your child to be classy as well. This bubblegum Cheers champagne flute baby bottle offers exactly what the classiness you and your child deserves. Take one suckle out of this stemmed flute, and a pinky might just go up in the air.
No.
Delightful gag gift for the mother-to-be, or just a way for you and your baby to enjoy a glass of some milk and or bubbly.
No!
Okay.
Right? Dude, if you want a classy-ass baby, this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and take some guesses. Quinn, you're up first.
Why is it always me?
Cause Neville.
Yes!
Yep. I'm going to guess $23.98.
$24.
$23.98.
It rounds up to the nearest dollar, so it's 24.
Danica?
I'm going to be mean and say 23.
Good news, you're both over!
$15.
$5.
All right, for a certain sum, you can get your very own baby champagne flute that makes your baby classy as hell. You and your baby can sit back, tip them back, maybe have a mimosa or two for $19.
Yeah, yeah. I won,
right?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
It looks pretty classy, man. It's got the stem and everything.
I'm going to Google this.
Next time in The Price is Wrong, we have a bulletproof shot glass.
Uh-huh. Well, I need this in my life.
Because nothing says manliness like doing bourbon shots from a shot glass with a 9mm handgun round stuck in it. Yes. This shot glass is sure to turn heads at any pregame event. It may not actually be bulletproof, but it sure does look like it. So go ahead and give it a shot and throw back a few shots with this bulletproof shot glass.
Yeah.
So, the shot glass, for those of you playing at home, it looks like a regular shot glass, only there's a bullet embedded in it. Like, cool. The bullet made an indent, but didn't shatter the glass.
Good for the bullet?
I don't know. It looks neat.
Okay.
So, Danica, it's your turn. How much for the bulletproof shot glass that isn't actually bulletproof, it just has a bullet in it?
$7.
$7. Intern Quinn?
I'm gonna go with $20.
Okay. For a certain sum, you can get your very own bulletproof shot glass that has a bullet in it, isn't actually bulletproof, for exactly $15.
Expensive for a shot glass.
I mean, it comes with a bullet, though.
I know.
Yeah, but, like, you can't use the bullet.
That's true.
True.
All right. Time for the showcase, where I read three items, and contestants have to guess the price of all three combined without going over. Intern Gwen's going first, after I name off the items. Your first item is a beard cozy for your beer.
Oh, I thought you said beard, and I'm like, why do you need a cozy for your beard?
It is a beard. It's a beer cozy. What man wouldn't love a beer manly wrapped around their can of PBR? Perfect for warm summer picnics, this beer cozy is sure to get a laugh. Warning, this is not an alternative for growing a real beard and putting it on your...
No, I thought it...
Speaking of PBR, shout out to that guy from MC Chris.
Right?
I thought it was, you put, like, it was like a scarf for your beard.
Nope, it's a little, like, fake beard that you put over your beer can. It's beer
cozy. That's kind of cute.
That's cute.
Next item in the showcase, because this is super helpful, hexagon beer pong cups. So they're hexagonal instead of round, so they actually stick together in this, right? Has your beer pong party gone sour? Then it's time to think outside the box. Check out this hexagon beer cup, or beer pong set. Shaped like a beehive, these cups are sturdier than ordinary regular cups and last longer. Your friends will love the new design, and your friends will think you're in the know.
And it's the holidays, so just play with champagne.
There you go.
Then,
last item in the showcase, a pool ball shot glasses set. Bring the party with a set of 9 pool ball shot glasses. Throw back a few shots of whiskey with the boys while shooting a game pool. Just don't make sure your friend Ricky brings an extra 8-ball so law enforcement doesn't get involved. Or also, just make sure your friend Ricky doesn't. That reference is over my head.
We get what you mean.
I don't get it. So I can see this set being fun because, like, if you sink the ball, you have to take the shot out of the ball. Yep. Right?
That's fun.
That seems like a fun time. I also suck at pool, so I'd stay sober.
I love pool. Let's go play.
I'm going to go with $50.
Okay, $50.
55.
You're both over.
Okay, 40.
$40, okay.
25.
For a certain sum, you can have your very own beer cozy for all your beers. Looks like a little beard for your beer. You have your hexagon beer pong cups and your pool ball shot glasses so you can play pool while you drink pool and pool. For $46. Meaning intern Quinn, she wins.
Yeah. Oh my.
Yay! Do I get a victory speech?
Yes.
Potatoes. I love potatoes. And potatoes are the reason I can win.
Okay.
I think you have a starch problem? I don't know.
I'm just weird.
Fair enough. We'll be back with your word of the week after Take Cover by All Time Low on 89.9 KGRGFM.
Yes!
You're listening to The Buzz. You're listening to The Buzz on KGRG 89.9 FM. Without further ado, I bring you the word of the week.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz, and it's time for your word of the week. And this one I experienced a little bit on Saturday, not gonna lie. During the concert? Or was that Friday?
Sorry, my thing came unplugged.
Sam. Yeah, the show was Saturday. And this is something I experienced at the bar. So you go to the bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a bar you don't regularly go to, or maybe you're new at ordering for the first time, you gotta figure out what you want. You gotta figure out quick, especially at like a concert bar, because there's a line. So this week's word of the week is panic drink.
Yo!
It's the default drink one orders when unfamiliar with the drink options or not ready to order. I mean, the same could be said when you go to a restaurant and you're not sure if they have Pepsi or Coke products, so you just... Waitress comes along or the waiter comes along and like, yo, what do you want to drink? Usually I'll just be like, yo, I want some water. Give me a second, Haas.
Then you have me who's like, I'd like diet soda. And then they're like, what diet soda? And I whisper, surprise me.
I hope you get diet Sprite.
Okay, that has happened before.
Gross.
I love Sprite.
But, like, there's always the awkward, yo, can I get Coke? Sorry, we only have Pepsi. Yeah, sure, whatever. Same freaking thing.
It is not. Same thing.
Whatever, man. But, I'm one of those people who I'll have maybe three or four beers that I'm pretty sure most bars should have. And those are my go-tos if I just need to make a quick order and I should be good. But Saturday, it was hard. They didn't have any of my normals.
Oh.
It's kind of a bummer.
Oh.
I never know what I want, so I'm just like, I'll have what you ordered, which is what I did Saturday.
Yeah, man.
I think my default drink would probably be a screwdriver.
Screwdrivers are good.
Really? Okay.
Have you met me?
Nope.
I mean, I also like orange juice.
I mean, I like orange juice, but
Shout out to Easter when me and my mom drink mimosas every year. Dude, let's have mimosas.
We should do that.
Okay.
But
this just got weird quick.
I think that if I did drink, I would have a screwdriver just because it's simple. And, like, recipes for mojitos and Cosmos and stuff are just like, no. And I've had virgin versions of almost every drink you can get.
What's the virgin of a screwdriver? Is it just orange juice?
Well, it's you put like club soda or something in it, or bitters to give you a little bit of a sting.
Okay.
But I've had virgin versions of a lot of things, and I think that I would probably either order a pina colada or a screwdriver.
The first time I started drinking was at a New Year's party. And that's why I started drinking was screwdrivers. And it started being like a bunch of orange juice and then some champagne by the end of the night. I was just down in bottles of champagne chasing it with orange juice. It was great.
Shout out to like me like 4 years ago drinking at the CCA apartments. We had like whipped cream vodka. And like you put that with orange juice, it tastes like that like the ice cream that you get with your lunch in school.
Yeah.
That sounds
orange
amazing.
Creamsicle. So good.
I'll put that on my to-do list in 5 years?
Oh, my God. Another backup drink I have, at least backup soda. I'll usually go root beer, especially if there's,
yeah,
like,
good.
If there's
yeah.
a place that makes its own root beer. That's so surprisingly pretty good.
Homemade root beer is so good.
It's really good. Or, like, I'll go back and forth between, like, a Coke or Pepsi or whatever, and then, like, Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb, whatever the heck it is.
Diet Dr. Pepper is my shiz.
Oh.
I love Diet Dr. Pepper.
Diet anything, man. I just want to throw up at the thought of.
But, I'm weird.
Like, I have a friend who I'll go to the bar with, too, and he'll just be like, I want an Appletini. Doesn't matter where we go. That's just it. He wants an Appletini. Me, I have to sort of pick between some beers and whatever, like, flavor of beer I'm in the mood for, like, depending on how warm it is or whatever.
I think my backup, like, anything drink, if I just don't know and there's, like, a lot of people eating, I'm just, like, whiskey and ginger ale.
Ooh, that sounds good. Or a couple fingers of scotch. That's what I've heard that people really like to just go and be like, hey, I want a pinky finger of scotch. That's what I know this chick who was trying to, she was gonna be 21 in, like, a week, but she was gonna be out of town. And her parents wouldn't let her go, like, party because they were super churchy. So she went to a bar and she was like, hey, can I get... She was trying to be so cool so they wouldn't make her show her ID. And she's like, can I get a pinky finger of scotch?
No, I think I've gotten, like, too comfortable in my drinking habits. Like, I haven't gotten as adventurous anymore.
Really?
Like, when I go to a bar, I'm typically just hand me a beer or, like, if I'm feeling spicy, I'll get some sort of, like, not super crazy mixed drink. Like, I used to do drop shots all the time. Jake and I were talking about, like, back when the AFK was open, you used to do drop shots all the time. Or, like,
Flamin' Dr. Peppers!
If you ever go to a bar on your birthday, especially, like, your 21st or your 22nd birthday.
Oh, man.
And people are just buying you drinks. That's the best, because you get to just explore everything.
You're- right? 21st birthday, I went bar hopping with my dad and my uncle and my dad's friend. Oh, man.
Apparently, one of my friends has been planning my 21st birthday since I met her 3 years ago.
I have several years, though.
So, I know.
My 21st birthday, one of my friends is, like, aunt and uncle, because they were really cool. They gave me a superhero costume. Like, I had a little mask, and they had a little cape.
That's
but on
cute.
The back of the cape was a bunch of pieces of duct tape with different drinks on it. And every time somebody bought me one of the drinks, they got to take the duct tape off my cape and, like, put it on my shirt.
Nice!
That's cute!
It was great! It was awesome! So by the end of the night, I had everything from, like, a Scooby snack to a very adult-sounding beverage.
I can think of three that we are not allowed to say.
Yep!
There's this shot, and it's called a duck fart, and it's actually pretty great.
That was on there. It was awesome. It was a really cool way to, like, explore drinks.
Yeah.
Friend, if you are listening, take notes!
But, like, since then, I've had, like, a couple of drinks that I'm just sort of okay with. I haven't gone out and gone crazy and tried anything super fun.
I'm that way at coffee houses. I only get one drink at Starbucks, and I only get one type of smoothie at my local coffee house, and that's it.
But that was your word of the week, panic drink. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, at TheBuzzKJRG, or reply to the post that's going up shortly. What is your panic drink? Something that when you go to a bar or a restaurant, you just order to be safe.
Vodka. Lots and lots of vodka.
We'll be back after Hope by our friends Marsalis and 89.9 KJRG. Listen to the buzz. One of these two contestants is going to end up eating tofurkey. Entering Quinn or Danica.
And now it's time to play everyone's new favorite game show, Buzz It! With your host, Dave!
Dave's not here!
Dave isn't here, and Intern Quinn looks like I just, like, shoved soap in her mouth.
Oh my god, I am eating tofurkey this year. That's what we decided to do, is get a tofurkey.
Oh god, I'm sorry.
It's good, I love tofu, and I love tofurkey.
But it's time for a very special edition of Buzz It Trivia. We're gonna do some Thanksgiving-themed trivia this morning.
Oh no.
So contestants, get your buzzers ready.
No.
No?
Never.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's go.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right, so we got question number one.
Dun, dun.
Thanksgiving occurs on what specific day in November?
Danica. It's not a specific, like, calendar day, but it's Thursday.
More specific.
Quinn.
Oh, I know.
Well, letter first.
Oh, it's like the third Thursday. Of November, right? No?
Quinn.
It's the 24th of November.
It's not always a Thursday, though. Danica. The fourth Thursday? I don't know what's happening.
It is the fourth Thursday.
It's the fourth?
Yeah, it's always the fourth Thursday of November.
One, two, three. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Can I phone a Thursday?
Hey, yo.
Yo, girl, when you...
That was bad.
I know. I apologize.
Question number two.
Dun dun.
The first Thanksgiving lasted how many days?
Quinn. A week?
Not a week.
Danica. 2 weeks.
Not 2 weeks.
Quinn. 3 days.
It is 3 days.
I feel bad for all the kids, because back then, kids basically were waiters.
Well, then, just... could you imagine making enough food for 3 freaking days?
Ugh.
It'd be awful.
I don't want to.
So, which Indian tribe taught the pilgrims how to cultivate the land and were invited to the Thanksgiving meal?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, this is question number 3, by the way.
The Native Americans.
Which one, though?
All of them.
Multiple choice?
Yeah. Yep.
Was it the Apache, the Wanapanego? I'm sorry, I butchered that one. Or the Cherokee?
Danica. Wanapanego.
Yeah, sure, it's that one.
Wanapotato! Hey!
Question number
that
4.
That would be my tribe.
Approximately how many turkeys are eaten each year on Thanksgiving in the U.S.?
Quinn. 5 million.
It is not 5 million.
10 million. 15,000.
Danica.
Wrapped
Danica.
In bacon.
Like 4 billion?
Not 4 billion.
50,000.
Multiple choice?
Yeah.
Multiple choice for approximately how many turkeys are eaten each year on Thanksgiving in the U.S.? Is it 1 million, 280 million, or 500 million?
Quinn.
I was thinking of the entire population of the world when I answered
500 million.
Not 500 million.
Can I hear the choices again?
Was it 100 million, 280 million, or 500 million?
280 million.
It is 280 million. Question number 5.
That's a lot of dead birds.
Which southern state was the first to adopt a Thanksgiving Day in 1855?
Quinn. Oh.
You have to answer.
Mashed potatoes!
Danica. Virginia?
Was it Virginia?
Oh.
It was Virginia. Look at
oh,
you.
Oh, good job.
All right. Question number 6. What is a snood?
Quinn. A beanie that's floppy that you put on your skull.
What?
This is Thanksgiving themed.
I know. The guts of the turkey.
Danica. The like weird thingy that hangs off of their like chin things.
That is indeed a snood.
Oh.
It's the loose skin under a male turkey's neck.
I'm sure someone looked at that and was like, ooh, that'd make us so hot.
I don't think that that
I
was...
hope not.
I hope not either.
I hope not.
Question number 8. The best place to wear a striped sweater. No, I'm just kidding. The best place to put the meat thermometer in the turkey is where?
Quinn. Up the butate.
It is not up the butate.
Under the wing?
No.
Stab it into the boom!
Also, no.
Multiple choice.
Your multiple choice for where is the best place to put a meat thermometer in a turkey? Is it the breast, the middle of the back, or the thigh?
Quinn.
Danica.
Quinn.
Middle of the back.
It's not the middle
Danica.
Of the back. Danica.
Thigh.
It is the thigh. You ran that thermometer right at the thigh.
I wasn't completely sure if we could say turkey breast.
Well, of course
for
you can.
Some reason, and I was very confused.
Turkey breast is delicious.
Yeah, it is.
Question number 9.
Turkey!
Which president is believed to be the first to pardon a turkey and start this annual tradition?
Quinn. Abraham Lincoln. Not.
It is not Abraham
yeah,
Lincoln.
Yeah, I knew that.
He was the first one to do the pig.
So,
yeah.
Like, I know that this dude really was all about the turkey. He wanted to be the national bird, but he wasn't, like, president. All I can think of is Ben Franklin.
Not Ben Franklin.
I know, but he's not president. I know that's not the answer.
Do we need a multiple choice?
Yes.
Your multiple choice for which president is believed to be the first president to pardon a turkey and start the annual tradition. Is it President Abraham Lincoln in 1863? Is it President Roosevelt in 1939? Or is it President Harry Truman in 1947?
Danica. Truman.
True.
Cool.
And question number 10. Today, our Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday in November because why?
We were bored and just went eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a Thursday by the toe.
Danica.
Because
everyone was busy the first 3 Thursdays.
I like that answer, but no.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, kill the turkey by the toe.
Multiple choice?
Yes.
Multiple choice for today our Thanksgiving is the fourth Thursday of November because... Is it because the... Is the date that the Pilgrims landed on the New World? Is it because this is the date set by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1939 and approved by Congress in 1941? Or is it because it's the date people voted on to have it on?
Danica. The one with Congress.
It was the date set by President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1939 and approved by Congress in
1941. Yeah. Yeah,
and that was your very special Thanksgiving trivia for the morning.
I feel so informed.
Right?
I'm That's thankful a long time, for though. All the food that I'm about to devour.
I can't believe it took 2 years for that to get approved.
Yeah.
Right, though?
Oh, a day where we can eat, like, so much and then take naps? No, I don't want that approved at all.
Yep.
Let's take another year to decide.
But we'll be back with your news in a couple minutes. 89.9 KGRG, listen to the buzz.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. This hour's news is brought to you by the worst Christmas ever, 2 at Real Ed Tacoma on December 23rd, where you wear your ugly Christmas sweater while you listen to local bands like Into the Flood, Empyrean, and more to cover your favorite new metal songs. For more information, you can visit realarttacoma.com.
What was that?
Hey!
You now have...
Keep it down over there!
I'm confused.
Keep it down in there! Somebody's trying to work over here!
Somebody's trying to
it's
work
Mike.
Over there.
It's Mike.
Oh. Oh. I'm scared. Okay! Hi! It's time for this... This hour's news. I'm H. Quinn, and I'm here with your 7:30 news, hoping that y'all are going to have a great holiday. First off, just a cute little fact that recently came out. Did you know that the first selfie was not taken by Kim Kardashian? Kim Kardashian did not invent the selfie. The first selfie was taken in 1839.
I know. It was that one dude.
Robert Cornelius was an amateur photographer, chemist, and lamp manufacturer. Took his camera, held it up, and clicked the button and stayed frozen for exactly 10 seconds to capture the perfect selfie.
So people didn't do that before? No. I remember going to like 6th grade camp with one of those disposable cameras and just doing that stuff, man.
Did he duck lips?
No, he did not do duck lips, but he could slay the Instagram world right now.
Cool.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but a lot, apparently, according to a survey, 92% of middle schoolers believe Kim Kardashian invented the selfie.
That makes me upset.
I don't want to live here anymore.
Yep. And something to possibly inspire you to commit a random act of kindness. Kindness and love.
Not random act of violence, because that's more fun.
That's next week.
Oh.
This week we're having happiness and joyfulness, right? Yeah. A Muslim waiter in Denver was given a $100 tip from a customer wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Oh.
The guest at Damascus restaurant left the 424% tip with a note, "You belong here, and I'm glad you're here."
Aww.
I know. And the server started tearing up, feeling that saying that he'd never felt this welcome since the election took place.
Dude, I'd just be tearing up because somebody gave me $100.
I know, right?
Woo!
Also, totally random, but someone figured out how to preserve pizza.
It's you beautiful. Eat it.
Nope. They take the slice of pizza and they put it in a block of resin, and you can stare at it forever.
You're doing it wrong.
Exactly. All right, and Washington lawmakers are voting on putting seatbelts on school buses.
Excellent.
They're saying that every time that someone runs a red light and they get their picture taken and they pay their ticket, they're going to use that money to put seatbelts on all the school buses. All the school buses!
I say the hell with it. Builds character.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they're still getting their teeth knocked out and like giving it to the tooth fairy, right?
Yeah, of course.
So if you hit your head in the front of the seat, you get your teeth knocked out, it's going to happen anyways.
Yeah. All right. For your sports, I'm sure we all want to know who's playing the game.
Yes!
For the football.
Yes!
Yes!
All right.
Yes!
Starting at 9:30, we have the Vikings versus Detroit.
Is this tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. And no, it's tonight. They're going to start football tonight for Thanksgiving.
You have Wednesday night football.
People play on we Thanksgiving. Do. The Cowboys play every Thanksgiving.
So yes. Is Detroit.
I'm getting there.
Wait, so Detroit's playing football, right?
Yes.
Who are they playing?
The Minnesota Vikings.
So they're playing on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Not tonight.
No. People
are going to be looking and like, that girl on the news said they were playing and did not play. And now I have a lot of beer and I don't know what to do. I bought a lot of hot dogs.
Dude,
if
you get lit at 7:30 in the morning on
night.
A Wednesday for a game on Thursday night, I'm proud of you, homie. You do you.
All right. So for tomorrow, starting at 9:30 a.m., we have the Vikings versus the Detroit something or another. Then at 1:30, we have the Redskins versus the Cowboys. And then at 5:30, we have the Steelers versus the Colts. All right. And your forecast today is showers, and it got a high of 52 and a low of 44. And over your holiday weekend, it's going to rain.
As it always does.
Yeah, I'm starting to get into that sort of thing where it's going to start raining consistently.
For your traffic, it's mostly clear unless you're going north or south along the 405. If you're going south by Renton-ish, it's basically a parking lot. And if you're going up north, up by Bothell, it gets to be a parking lot. But other than that, the map's mainly green. There was on I-5 southbound, just north of State Road 516, there's a collision blocking the two left lanes. Medical aid, fire assistance, incident response team, and state patrol have arrived on the scene. I think that's everything. Have a great Thanksgiving, guys. I'm out, and I'll probably talk to you Monday. Unless I'm still in a food coma, right?
Sure.
Ha, ha, ha. Also, traffic people recommend that you leave early if you're trying to get somewhere, obviously, for the holidays.
Or just don't.
Or just don't. Just stay at home and get lit.
Skype your family. Skype your family and eat mashed potatoes.
Southbound I-5 exit 165B to Union Street will be closed for the annual holiday parade of Macy's.
Nice.
Friday morning, November 25th. From 8 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. And once again, to remind you, flammable cargo is still prohibited from traveling in both directions of I-90 inside Mount Baker and the Mercer Island Lid tunnels until further notice.
Is it because those tunnels are lit or what?
I know, yes. Right? All right, bye, y'all. I gotta get out of here.
We'll be back with the six-pack after a lot of dispute. You're listening to The Buzz.
Turkey!
You're listening to KGRG 89.9 FM, today's rock. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and crack open a six-pack with The Buzz.
Six-pack. 89.9 KGRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz, and it is time for our six-pack. Top six list things are awesome, sometimes not so awesome. Guess this morning falls underneath the awesome category?
Alright, I'm ready.
It is the top six Thanksgiving words that have bizarre origins.
Okay.
So, it's interesting. Like, there are a couple of words, like, mainly they're objects. It's hard to explain or describe, so I think that's the best way of doing it. So let's go ahead and open up number six. Is the wishbone.
Okay.
You ever do this? Like, you ever do the whole thing with the wishbone where you...
Like, once or twice.
Okay. Well, according to a Roman legend, the Etruscans selected a wishbone because of its V-shape resembling the human groin, the repository of life.
Ooh.
Thus, the wishbone had been seen as an appropriate way to unravel life's mysteries. The resemblance of the bone to a woman's pudenda? Okay. Has also been said to be responsible for it being given the name Mary Thought. In the 17th century, it was sometimes thought that whoever ended up with the longer piece of the Mary Thought would marry first, a clever play on words. Alternatively, it was believed that the person with the longer piece would get whatever he or she chose, a custom firmly entrenched in the 19th century. English settlers brought the practice with them to the New World, and we still pull the wishbone apart today. So it evolved from Romans and whatever the heck in Etruscan is?
Okay. Sure.
I don't know what those mean.
Neither do I. We're doing great.
Number five. The fork.
Okay.
Yeah. So whether it's called the Mary Thought or a wishbone, the proper term for a bone we pull apart on Thanksgiving is a furcula. It comes from the Latin word furca, meaning pitchfork. But before becoming the world for what it was then, a two-pronged utensil, the term was used in England to refer to a forked instrument used by torturers. So you might want to be careful of saying, "Stick a fork in me, I'm done," after you've eaten too many mashed potatoes. Although the fork seems like an obvious tool, it was not used for eating until the 8th or 9th century, and then only by nobility in parts of what is now the Middle East. Popular legend has it that Catherine de Medici brought the fork to France from Italy when she married King Henry I of France in the 16th century. However, the use of the word to mean a table fork is first attested in English some 100 years earlier. It's weird to think that the fork wasn't just a thing that people used.
Yeah.
Because, like, pitchforks were a thing. And you'd think this is just like a tinier pitchfork.
Little baby pitchfork.
Same with like a trident. Trident's also another thing.
Yeah. We should just use tridents.
Right? I used to have a little mini trident. Like, it was a fork, only it had three prongs instead of four. It was great.
That's cute.
And then we got number four, because I can count.
Yay.
The turkey itself.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the first Europeans to see what we call a turkey were likely Christopher Columbus and the crew of his fourth American voyage. They called the animal Gallina de la Tierra.
Oh, that's more fun. I'm going to start calling it that again.
Well, it means land chicken.
Gallina de la Tierra.
Because, as opposed to, you know, the chicken of the sea, a.k.a. the tuna. I don't know.
Shout out to Jessica Simpson.
The word turkey is short for turkey cock, a term that originally referred to the guinea fowl. The origins of the word turkey to refer to a bird that is native to America are uncertain, but it may be because it was once brought to England via Turkey. Pilgrims brought to the New World became confused by the similarity of the land chicken to the bird they knew as a turkey, so it was named by mistake. Though turkeys are common fare for early American settlers, they didn't become a part of Thanksgiving tradition until around the mid-19th century.
Okay.
So yeah, you're not eating a turkey by traditional means. You're eating a land chicken.
Land chicken.
KFC. Get you a land chicken. I need a turkey from KFC.
Oh my gosh. Like, have you ever been to a Renaissance fair? Fried turkey legs.
That sounds great. But we'll be back with numbers 3, 2, and 1 from our six-pack after a decade in the influence by Taking Back Sunday. 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
And now, back to the six-pack.
89.9 KGRG FM. You're listening to The Buzz, and we're in the middle of our six-pack.
Yeah.
Top six list of things that are awesome. This morning's definitely awesome. It's the top six Thanksgiving words and their origins. So, just a quick recap. We had number six, and that was the wishbone. The whole thing where, like, you split it apart. Originally in Roman times, I don't know. Number five was the fork, because forks didn't exist until relatively recently in human history. And then number four was the turkey, a.k.a. Let's see if I can do this again. Gallina de la Tierra, a.k.a. the land chicken.
Gallina de la Tierra. I love it.
Right. So number three is also going to be a little food related. Number three is going to be the cranberry.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like the band?
Like the band, only this one's food. Because no Thanksgiving table would be complete without some form of cranberry sauce or jelly. I really like the jelly more than the sauce, to be honest. The crane in cranberry shares its root with the bird called a crane. This may be due to resemblance between the plant's stamen, whatever that is, and the beak of the crane. Cranberries do not grow in water, as commonly believed, but in bogs. They are sometimes referred to as bogberries, or accurately, as fenberries or marsh warts.
Da, 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 da.
Like, sounds less appetizing though. Like, do you want a fenberry or a marsh wart?
I want a marsh wart.
Do you want a bogberry?
Yeah.
Cranberries are, however, often floated on water during harvesting, which makes them easier to harvest and increases their exposure to sunlight. More sunlight helps cranberries develop greater concentrations of anthocyanins and photonutrients believed to give cranberries antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. Cranberries
are
a popular treatment for urinary tract infections, believed by some to help prevent cancer. Plus, like, I just like cranberry juice.
With vodka, for show.
Not even with vodka. Like, that too, but just on its own, man, I picked up some cranberry juice.
Like, I'll drink cranberry juice all day.
And like,
cranberry juice with, like, a little bit of Sprite is really good.
Well, and there's so many different types of cranberry juice, too.
Yeah, like, there's, like, cran apple. Like, when I'm sick, I, like, just want like, cranberry juice and Sprite.
Right? Or there's cranberry-flavored Sprite now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Thursday,
I tried it once.
Later.
It was pretty good.
It's legit.
Let's go get some.
I don't think I've ever had an actual just cranberry on its own, though.
Oh, I have.
I'm sorry?
No, it's good. Like, okay. My grandma would, like, make them in cookies or something. Like, white chocolate with, like, cranberry.
But that's mixed into something. Have you ever had just a cranberry?
Yeah.
Like, I've had just a blueberry or just, like, a raspberry.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. The marshmallow.
Fluffy.
Right? While cranberries don't actually grow in marshes, the plant known as the marshmallow or marshmallow does.
What?
So marshmallow or marshmallow actually does grow in marshes. Marshmallow's botanical name, Althea officinalis, comes from the Greek Athean, meaning to heal. Marshmallow has been used for more than 2,000 years as a medicine as well as food.
What?
Right? The root and leaves contain a gummy substance called mucilage. When mixed with water, the mucilage forms a slick gel which coats the throat and stomach and reduces irritation. In the 19th century, people would take juice from the marshmallow roots and cook them with egg whites and sugar. The cooked mixture was whipped into a foamy meringue and allowed to harden, creating a medicinal candy to soothe sore throats. Today's commercial marshmallow candies don't actually contain any marshmallow. Instead, commercial marshmallows are thickened with gelatin, thereby negating the candy's original healing properties, making them unsuitable for vegetarians.
I wish it was still, like...
The other way where, like, you had...
To do that.
Because it sounds like an alternative to a cough drop.
Yeah.
Where you'd eat one of those and just sort of have an okay throat instead of a sore throat. So, that's a bummer. They took the medicinal part of the marshmallow out of it. And, I don't know. Number one. Tofurkey.
Oh.
The imposter of all meats. So, tofurkey is a turkey substitute created in 2000, so 16 years ago, by Turtle Island Foods. Tofurkey is made from tofu, is made from tofu, wheat, gluten, oil, and natural flavors, quote unquote, which include certain yeasts that lend tofurkey a meaty taste. Tofu, for those of you who don't know, is fermented soybean curd. It is valued for its high protein content as well as its ability to absorb flavors from other foods. Tofu is probably best enjoyed without thinking of the origins of the word, literally, rotten beans, which comes to us from Chinese du, beans, and pho, rotten.
Gross.
Right? Tofu is made from rotten bean juice. I've had tofurkey before. My mom's vegetarian. It's okay. Like, I actually don't mind tofu. I just have to just have it, like, marinating for days in some sort of, like, teriyaki sauce or something. You feel?
Yeah, I feel.
But I've been in the mood at, like, what's the place called? Like, Mongolian Grill.
Ooh, Mongolian Grill.
Like, you go to Mongolian Grill, like, first play, I'll do the beef, and I'll do all the really good vegetables, and second time through, you know what? I might just have some tofu or something.
Yeah.
But tofurkey, you can keep that. No, thank you.
I can't.
That was our top six Thanksgiving words and their origins on 89.9 KJRG FM. We'll be back after American football. You're listening to The Buzz. 89.9 KJRG FM, you're listening to The Buzz. Now, Derek and I went to go see a little show on Saturday.
Yeah.
We went to MC Chris, MC Lars, and Megaran for MC Chris's 10 years of touring tour.
Dope.
And this was your first Nerdcore show, right?
I mean, I've seen MC Lars, but...
This was your, like, you saw him at VanFest.
Yeah, that's not a Nerdcore show, but yeah.
How was it? How was it for you?
I had a lot of fun. I'd never seen Megaran or MC Chris before. And big fans of them now. But
Megaran was insane. Like, he had the...
So good!
He had the Mega Man arm, like, the blue thing that actually lit up.
When
and
he did
dancing.
the freestyle, when he took the guy's wallet and was just rapping about everything in his wallet, I was like, this dude...
He's legit. So, I'm not sure if you knew this about him, but he was actually a teacher 5 years ago.
No, really?
Yeah. So, he was a teacher, and then he decided to just quit his day job.
Dude, I would, like...
Become
kill
a nerdcore rapper, right? It was sick. And he was the guy who first came out against Alex Trebek when he made that whole Nerdcore's for Losers comment. And
yeah.
He really spearheaded the...
Suck it, Trebek.
The Suck it, Trebek movement. He's also really big into just believing in yourself. And if you got a project, go ahead and do it. He's a really, really positive dude.
Yeah, I got that vibe totally.
He is actually starting a project called the NPC Project, or the Nerdy Persons of Color Project, specifically
nice.
To encourage people of color to become more involved in the nerdy community. So he's a really, really big activist, dude, and it's really, really cool. And you said you've seen CLRs before.
Yeah, because we talked to them and hung out with them at VanFest.
Now, how is this different for you?
Well, I mean, VanFest, like, it was a lot more chill, and he had Ash Wednesday with him, his girlfriend. She's super adorable. But it was cool to see him, like, reenact with, like, other artists and stuff.
And him and Megaran were super tight. Like, they were telling their O.J. Simpson jokes, and
yeah,
they freaking killed.
I was a little sad that there was no giant circle pit, but...
Yeah, that was a bummer. Like, every show I've been to of his, and, like, same with Mike, he does a circle pit, and he'll just run it around. Like, last time he was at Funhouse, he just ran around the Funhouse, like,
it
by the bathroom.
It was so packed, though. Like, I doubt that anyone could have even tried to run. Someone would have gotten hurt, probably. That's why I didn't do it, probably.
Now, did you know about MC Chris or any of his, like, Adult Swim characters before you came in to see him?
No.
Okay.
I had no idea what I was getting into with that one.
No, he was probably the biggest reason for that crowd.
Yeah.
The last couple of Nerdcore shows I've seen at Elko, I saw Kirby Crackle the first time with Shovezilla and Taupe. That was in the Funhouse. Funhouse is super small, and, like, they packed up maybe, like, the front half of the bar.
Yeah.
It was a super small show, but it was chill because everybody there was really into the music. I don't think any of them knew Taupe because he was more of just hip-hop, but, like, everyone knew pretty much Kirby Crackle's songs word for word.
Yeah.
Same thing with the second time through. It was a really intimate crowd, really small crowd, when I saw Kirby Crackle again with, like, MC Lars and Cuckoo Kangaroo. But it was a really fun show, and everybody there was having a good time. This crowd was completely different.
It was so big. Like,
this
This
is the most I've ever seen Elko packed.
Yeah.
There was no breathing room. Even if you went into the bar, like, you were, like, standing behind a post or something.
Shout out to that pug that was there.
Right? And, like, shout out... I feel really bad, but shout out to this guy who, like, decided he wanted to buy the entire bar
packed. Thank you, by the way.
Right? Like, Derek and I went up, we grabbed the beer, we started chilling through a Megaran set, and then, like, after Megaran set, some dude just ran up to the bar. I was maybe halfway through my first beer, and he's like,
yeah.
All right, everybody, come to the bar, tip your waitress, come get a PBR. Yeah! I was like,
all right.
Okay, here, I'll hold your beer, you go get yours.
I want to know what his bar tab was at the end of the night. Like, I really do.
I don't, because I know it's, God, that number's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt real bad.
Oh, man.
But thank you, again.
Right? But, I knew of Megaran a little bit. I listened to him on my own. I didn't know who the beefy guy was who came up, like, during MC Lars'
set. Yeah, I don't
know
who beefy was either.
I guess he's local, so Mike and I were just like, we got to check him out. But, MC Chris, I knew from... I was introduced from him through Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which is, like, one of those 15-minute shows on Adult Swim. He played a few different characters... all technically the same character.
Okay.
He was MC Peepants.
Alright.
Then he was Sirloin. Then he was Little Brittle. MC Peepants was a character devised by a spider who his entire plot was to get people addicted to candy and then use their super fueled candy blood to power drill the born to hell and release demons.
Oh.
And that's why, like, when he started his set off with I Want Candy, I lost my freaking mind. I was so freaking excited. Like, that's the coolest thing ever, when a band starts off with a song that you know.
Yeah.
And just like, I'm done, I can die happy now.
I remember, like, even if they don't start off with it, like, if they end it, like, with a song, like, when Mike and Andrew and I saw Sea Cats at VanFest, and, like, their last song was, Last Resort. Everybody lost their mind. Like, it was ridiculous.
And every time Coheed and Cambria ends their set, it's always with Welcome Home. So that's...
Yeah.
They always have that one song that they have to play.
Oh, yeah. I think every band has that.
And then Mike was introduced to MC Chris through another Adult Swim show called C-Lab 2021. I started watching it on Hulu. It's actually a really good show. It looks like it was animated by the same people who did Aqua Teen Hunger Force, but it's another one of those really crude shows, and he played, like, an engineer character, and then he also played himself in an episode.
Huh.
But it was really cool, because he did a lot of those inside jokes, like, during the I Want Candy song, like, 612 Wharf Avenue, the crowd was chanting at the end of the episode, and he asked where it was located, right next to the Melon Shakers, Those are actual places in the show. So the fact that he remembers that, like, 10 years later...
That's crazy.
...is insane. And he was a really cool dude. The costume contest was a little weird.
That was weird. I loved, like, the rant about Star Wars. That was great.
Because he wasn't wrong on any of those.
He really wasn't.
But that was... In terms of nerdcore shows, that was the most involved and probably the biggest one I've ever been to, which was really cool.
It was a lot of fun.
It was nice to see the community come out. It's nice to see all those people who came out to see this guy. And just... He put on a show.
He really did.
It wasn't just like a dude coming on performing songs. He did a rant about Star Wars. He really knew his audience.
He did work.
So, in honor of that show, we're going to play a little MC Chris.
Sick.
We got Older Crowd on 89.9 KGRG. You're listening to The Buzz.
Breaking news.
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 This hour's news is brought to you by my crippling sleep deprivation and by Christmas Eve, the worst Christmas ever, too, at Real Life Tacoma on December 23rd, where you wear your ugly Christmas sweater while you listen to local bands like Into the Flood, Empyrean, and more to cover your favorite new metal songs. For more information, you can visit reallifetacoma.com.
Woo! Man, that was depressing. Alright, but it's time for your 8:30 news.
Okay.
We're going to start off not Thanksgiving themed, and then we'll work our way towards that direction.
Aye.
So, first news story I got, the FBI is seeking the Spelling Bee Bandit, known for leaving misspelled robbery notes.
I'm sorry.
Right? Oh, man.
Oh, no.
That's right. The FBI is offering a reward for information leading to the capture of a man known as the Spelling Bee Bandit. Wanted in a string of thefts. The man targeted 4 banks in the Boston area and each instance entered the bank wearing sunglasses before writing robbery, spelled R-O-B-E-R-Y, on a withdrawal slip and handing it to the teller according to the Boston Globe.
Oh no.
Authorities are offering $1,000 reward to anyone able to provide information on the thief known for his poor spelling as the FBI claimed he has started to behave more aggressively with the tellers. Quote, he has become increasingly aggressive with the tellers both in his physical interactions and verbal interaction. Daniel R. Romanzo, I'm sorry, Mr. Romanzo, of the FBI Boston's Violent Crimes Task Force. The individual has been leaning over teller counter to interact with the tellers, and the tone of his voice has become more aggressive toward the teller, and has resulted in the greater loss for the banks of each of the robberies. Witnesses described the robber as a thin white man in his late 30s, early 40s, between 5'11 and 6'2. He has also been seen wearing jeans, a dark jacket, dark sneakers with white soles, and a white New England Patriots hat, was heard speaking with a local accent. So he's speaking with a Boston accent! I can't speak Boston.
Boston.
I can't do it.
I left my khakis and my khakis. I can't even do it.
If you left your khakis in the bed of my truck, and call me at 253-833-5004. That's my smoker Boston voice? I don't know.
That's terrifying, a little bit.
My wife, Helen, makes a terrible meatloaf. It leaves me all backed up. I can't do Boston. I'm sorry. But if you're going to rob somebody, at least spell it right. Because I can't imagine, like, starting a bank robbery and handing somebody over the robbery note and just like hand over the money except everything's spelled wrong. And yeah. The teller's just like, what? Are you asking me out? What is this?
Yes.
So if you want to make a grand and you live in Boston? Call the FBI. I don't know their number. Maybe just call 911. Mm. Next news story I got is travel related. Traveling for Thanksgiving holiday weekend, WASDOT says to leave early. That's the Washington State Department of Transportation for those not tracking. Planes, trains, ferries, and cars, no matter how you're getting to your destination on Thanksgiving holiday, you should prepare for a lot of company Wednesday as the travel rush begins. One guy, Mike Parisu, said he'll just beat it with his nephew. He's driving from Ellensburg over the Snoqualmie Pass on Tuesday. They're coming over Elk Heights. It's about 34 degrees, mixed snow and rain, because it's already starting to snow. Snows begin blanketing the road. Salt trucks are busy coating Interstate 90 in preparation for a busy holiday travel weekend. It's expected to be especially difficult for travelers heading east on I-90. On top of those heading east for Thanksgiving plans, thousands of Washington State our University of Washington Husky and Washington State University Cougar fans are heading to Pullman for the Apple Cup on Friday.
Yes.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. A few people are leaving Mercer Island around 5:30 a.m., which could be one of the best times to go if weather cooperates. According to Washington State Department of Transportation, traffic on I-90 eastbound is expected to be especially heavy from 1 to 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 8 a.m. to noon on Thursday, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Friday. Travelers heading southbound Interstate 5 could be facing big delays from Tacoma to Olympia starting 10 a.m. today. You'll also want to avoid that area from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Thursday, and 10 a.m. from 2 p.m. on Friday. So that's a little bit earlier than normal just rush hour stuff. Typically, it doesn't start till, like, I don't know, like 2 or 3 p.m. heading southbound. For tips on driving Interstate 90 and Interstate 5 and Washington State Route 2, visit the Washington State Department of Transportation website. Those by traveling by ferry should leave extra time for the lines and docks. You should consider buying your tickets online and make reservations, especially if you're traveling from San Juan Port, Townsend, or Coopville routes. There's still a few seats left on the Amtrak Cascade runs, though, through the weekend, the spokeswoman said Tuesday afternoon. Two extra train trips were added to Seattle to Portland to handle increased demand. One scheduled for Wednesday afternoon, the other is scheduled for Sunday. Have you ever traveled during, like, a really busy holiday weekend?
Yes.
Really? What was that like? Because I've never done it.
When I was younger, I think I was, like, 9. Maybe, like, a little younger. I went with my dad to Montana for, like, Thanksgiving weekend. We were driving back, and we were driving over, like, it got shut down because of weather. We were there for 19 hours.
Oh, God.
People were getting out of their car, building, like, snowmen, and it was a lot. Because we couldn't keep the car on, because we were going to run out of gas, so we couldn't, like, use the heater. It was so cold.
The closest I've gotten to, like, any sort of holiday traveling was, traveling from, like, Graham to Portland to visit my grandparents. And we'd always leave, like...
Well, that's, like, nothing.
It's nothing, right? It's a 3-hour drive normally. Plus, like, the van we had at the time was one of those really sweet ones with, like, the really big chairs and, like, the
Sick.
TV in it, like, a VCR.
Sick. Dude, I want one of those.
The bummer part was, like, as VCRs were going out of style and DVD players were coming in.
Oh.
So, like, the only VHS we had was Tomb Raider. Like, the Angelina Jolie one.
All right.
God-awful movie.
Yeah.
They made a sequel. Still really bad, but that's the closest I ever got. As far as taking the train, train's fine. If you can take the train. It's great. It's a ton of fun. I highly recommend it. Last news story we got. All right. You ever eat turkey testicles?
Nope.
Well, Huntley Union Festival is expected to draw pre-Thanksgiving crowds because they're turkey testicles.
Cool.
For thousands of people, the night before Thanksgiving wouldn't be complete without a bite of turkey testicle. That goes for those from the McHenry County area and beyond, way beyond. Last year, they had people from Australia and Germany, said J.R. Westenberg, who co-owns Parkside Pub in Huntley, known for the past 34 years for its annual pre-Thanksgiving turkey testicle festival. Within the United States, he's heard of people coming from as far as California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, and New York. For those who haven't tried or even heard of turkey testicles, it's exactly what they sound like. Turkey testicles battered, fried, and served up.
Aight.
This year, Parkside will cook 1,200 pounds of them to feed to expected 5,200 people. That's a whole lot of testicle. Generations of family now enjoy them together out of tradition, Westberg said, though most say the taste isn't bad. The pub's doors will open at 11 a.m. November 23rd, with crowds expected to line up beforehand, and bus routes available at about 3 p.m. The festival is at 11721 Main Street in Huntingley, and will include a heated tent and live music from 7th Heaven at 1 p.m., Modern Day Romeo's at 5 p.m., and a boy band review headlining 9 p.m. until midnight. Admissions and VIP passes are available. So if you want to go eat some turkey testicles, man, good on ya. I don't think I could do it. I'm not a big, like, weird anything fan, man. I can barely do Hot Pockets.
Oh, man.
Is that weird to me?
Yeah.
Okay. I can accept that.
Yeah, it's real weird. But shout out to Anna Bear, who brought Hot Pockets to the end of the quarter, like, potluck thing
right?
last year.
But I don't think I could do turkey testicles. No, thank you. That was your news on 89.9 KJRG-FM. You're listening to The Buzz. We'll be back after Beartooth, 89.9 KJRG. Little MC Lars, Hot Topic is not punk rock on 89.9 KJRG-FM. You've been listening to The Buzz, and it's time for us to gobble out of here. Is that what we're doing that this morning?
Yes.
Just a quick reminder for those of you who enjoy listening to the show. You can catch us on demand on the official KJRG-FM app or KJRG.com. Just click the on-demand section, click the Buzz page. All of our stuff is on there. So you can listen to that, but we're not going to be on tomorrow morning because we like hanging out with our friends and our families and our cats and our dogs and eating food. And we're not coming up on Friday because I live near the Tacoma Mall and F fighting that traffic. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
But not that much.
I would have to, like, basically leave at midnight.
No, do it.
So in the hopes of not getting trampled or, like, getting hit on I-5, we're just going to take the rest of the week off. And hopefully you can do the same and just sort of chill, right?
Yeah.
But we got to get out of here first because it's time to do so. You ready, Danica?
Yes.
So long.
Farewell.
I'll be saying goodbye. I can't gobble and say those words at the same time. I'm sorry. Goodbye.
I apologize.
This has been The Buzz on 89.9 KJRG-FM. If you've missed this very awesome, spectacular Thanksgiving episode, or any of our past episodes, like I said, visit KJRG.com. Click that On Demand tab. You can even download that stuff.
Pretty download sick. That ish.
Right? For free. You can also download the free KJRG-FM app. But until next week, Wednesday morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. on 89.9 KJRG-FM. You've been listening to The Buzz. You can also hit us up on Facebook, on Twitter, at TheBuzzKJRG. I'll answer your messages or whatever.
Yeah.
It's lit. We out!
Bye!